Good morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 52. Open our worship service this morning with a passage from Isaiah chapter 52. While you're turning, our pastor and janitor are on vacation, and Lord willing, they will return home to us today, right? Today. We plan on seeing them home, so remember them in prayer. Isaiah chapter 52. We'll start in verse 7 and read through the end of the chapter. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And many were astonied or astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. We'll end our reading there. Let's pray together. Our holy Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with us this morning, that your word go forth in power, and that we be blessed, that this truly be a time of worship. We thank you for this opportunity that you've provided, for the right that we have to come before you in Christ's name. We have much to be thankful for. We thank you for this assembly of your sheep, that we can be together, fellowship together, like-minded, and together, you know, worship you in our Savior's name, and hear of Christ, learn of Christ, and see him with eyes of faith that you've given us, and with a heart of faith that you've given us to believe. We pray for continued faith. The Father, you see fit to not leave us alone. Remember that we're dust. We're thankful that you've seen fit to call us children for Christ's sake. We pray for our brother Luke as he stands here this morning. We thank you for him. Pray that you strengthen him and give him recollection of his studies and give him a message from you. We pray that you be with him as he speaks. Give him words, and we pray that you be with us as we hear. Open our hearts to hear. Pray for those of our congregation and elsewhere, those that we think of even now that are undergoing whatever the trial that you brought may be, that you bring them through it in your time, that your will be accomplished. Think of those who are mourning and sick, brokenhearted. Think of those of us that are so often cold in heart, that you strengthen and turn our hearts again to you. We pray this thankfully in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. We welcome our brother Luke Coffey this morning. I don't really know what to say other than we love you and we're very glad that we're here, that you're here. Glad that we're here too. Glad that you're here along with your lovely family, and we pray that you come preach the message the Lord's put on your heart. We've been praying for you.
Good morning. If you would open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. This morning we'll look at a very familiar Old Testament story and go verse by verse through it, the story of Elijah and the two sacrifices without fire, with those that were worshiping Baal and those that were worshiping the Lord. And there's a lot of things in this, but one thing I want to focus on this morning is a simple question that we all must answer. Which God is God? Which God, little g, is God, capital G? In verse 21, we see where this question came about. It says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions or two thoughts? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." This is a really simple question. And a question that whether we understand or realize it, we answer this question all the time. And everybody in the world answers this question. Some people answer it by saying out loud, "I don't believe there is a God." Some people answer it by going through the motions and saying, "Oh yeah, I believe in God." But in this story, we put two different ideas against each other. The God of Jacob and the God of Baal, or Baal, who they call their God. And the importance of this is that if we can't answer this question, eventually it will be answered for us. To start, we must say this. None of us are able to answer this question correctly on our own. On our own, I think the answer we would all come to, or we would all think in our mind is, "I'm my own God." That's what we want. That's the way we're born in sin. We worship ourselves. We really do. But thankfully, the true and living God shows some people who He is. And He makes them to see Him, understand Him, and to love Him. But He does that. So when I say which God is God, and we must answer this question, we all obviously need to know that we aren't able to believe in the true and living God. We can't do that on our own. But thankfully, He does that. He shows His people. And look in verse 19. Or look at verse 17 first. "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regard it. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. This story has an ending that we all see and we all understand. And having heard the gospel and heard this story before, it seems so obvious how it's going to end. And let me give you an illustration of a story that I'm sure many of you have heard about how many people or how odd it is that we actually understand how this story ends. In Mexico, there was a young man or an older boy who heard the gospel. And he heard about who the Lord was. And in his house, their gods were little statues on the mantle. They had a bunch of statues across the mantle. And the son kept telling his dad, Dad, you need to come. You got to hear about who God is. You need to hear this. And his dad was adamant. I've got my God. I've got my gods. Well, one day, the boy got some courage, and he took a little hammer, and he smashed all the gods but one. And he laid the hammer next to the last one. And when his dad came home, he was furious. He started screaming, Who did this? Who did this to my gods? And the little boy just kind of stayed back. And he finally came to him and he said, You did this. And the boy said, I didn't do it. He said, He did it. And pointed at the idol with the hammer next to him. And the dad looked at him and said, You and I both know that that God can't do anything. And the boy said, That's what I've been trying to tell you. It seems so obvious who God is. And throughout the scriptures, and if we said just up to this point, we have had so many stories and so many examples, especially for the children of Israel, who were the people who were there, they should have obviously known it. But if they don't know it, we should realize that we would never know it. These people saw all these examples and these personal experiences, and yet in this moment where Elijah says to them, how long halt ye between two opinions? He's like, you can't make up your mind. And he says at the end of verse 21, when he said that to them, he said, and the people answered him not a word. Elijah said to all the children of Israel, this is in kind of a valley with mountains around, all the people of Israel, we don't know how many thousands of people this was, but he said, here's what we're going to do to figure this out. But when he says, you got to pick either the Lord or you got to pick Baal. And no one said a thing. Not one person raised their voice up and said, well, it's God. It's the Lord. It's not Baal. No one said it. They didn't know. They had to be shown. So look here in verse 19. It says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. The first answer or part to this question, or the answer is, everyone will see the truth. Elijah said, you gather all the people, and everyone came. Every single person will see the truth someday. whether the Lord shows it in this life or we find out in judgment, every single person one day will have their eyes open and see, He is God. And they'll see it. In verse 22, it says, Elijah said unto the people, Even I, only I, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. The power of our God does not come from how many people believe on Him. There was one person who believed on God and 450 prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal, their numbers, did not give their God power. In the same way that our God does not get His power from our belief and the number. Our God is God. Look in verse 25. And Elijah said unto them, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but don't put any fire. And they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, called the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped up and down at the altar. They leaped upon the altar which was made. Our actions have no bearing on the power of our God. What we do, the way we do things, it has no bearing on the power of God. These people jumped up and down, and who knows what all they did. It gave their God no power. Our actions have no bearing on our God. Look at verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's a journey, or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awake. This verse has always made me a little uneasy in the sense that Elijah shows great faith here. He knows exactly what he's saying. He knows the power of Baal. Elijah has been shown of God and given this example of what he's doing with these two sacrifices, but it still scares me. I believe in the God of the Bible. I believe Him, but it scares me to say these things or to act in the way that Elijah does. Now, Elijah's led of the Lord. I don't mean that. But the thing I want to say is that the faith of these prophets of Baal or the faith of Elijah here that prophet didn't have power and his did, this sounds weird. Our faith has no bearing on the power of our God. We have no control over His power. He is almighty. Now, so many people in false religion think that their actions, their beliefs, the things they do, controls part of their salvation. Nothing we do, nothing we say, nothing we believe has any effect on our God. Our God does things to us. Our God controls us. We have no power over Him or influence on Him. Look in verse 28. And they cried aloud and they cut themselves after that manner with knives, with lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. These men or men and women, the prophets of Baal, they had serious devotion. They really were doing anything they could to give their God power. But their devotion didn't give them any power. It doesn't matter how much they believed. God is God. And their God had no power. It didn't matter their devotion. And then finally, verse 29 says, And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. They spent from the time sun came up to sun came down worshiping their God, and nothing ever happened. All of these things show us that we don't give our God anything. We have no control, no influence, no part. And I'm repetitive here, but it's so important we realize the first part of understanding who God is that He is God. The definition of a God would imply that we can't do anything about it. We don't control it. He controls us. So in verse 33, it says here, And he put the wood, Elijah put the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time.
And they did it a third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Elijah, it wasn't enough that all these people were watching, and then Elijah had a sacrifice, and the Lord consumed it, or the Lord brought fire down. Elijah wanted to show these people, or he wanted them to see, that it doesn't matter what I do here. I'm not the one who is going to consume the sacrifice. I'm not the one who's going to provide the fire. I'm sure when these people were seeing this, they were thinking to themselves, I wonder if there's going to be fire show up on the sacrifice. He dumped barrel upon barrel upon barrel of water on it. And if you've ever tried to light a fire with wet wood, it just doesn't work. But he was showing there's nothing that man can do to prevent the sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ came and made an effectual sacrifice. And there's nothing that any man could ever do to affect that or to change that. The power of God is complete. And His mercy and His sacrifice and His Lord is effectual. There's nothing we can do to stop it. Look in verse 36. After pouring all that water on it, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. After all these things that I've said about our God, we have no effect on Him. We can't control Him. We don't give Him His power. He has almighty power, and we don't have any effect on that. We see in this that our God hears our prayers. Our God hears the prayers of His sheep. And what a prayer this is. And then Elijah here simply says, Lord, show them who you are. And that's the prayer of every believer. That's the prayer of every man that stands up and preaches the gospel. Just show them who you are. Just show them that I have no effect on this sacrifice. Show them that there's no way for me to stop you from providing the sacrifice for your people. He says, just, Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Show them through this that you are the only true and living God. Verse 38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. There is only one sacrifice. There's only one sacrifice. Only one of these two sacrifices was consumed. And there's only one sacrifice that has ever been acceptable to the Lord, to the God, Lord Jesus Christ in the cross. That's the only effectual sacrifice. If anyone wants to have any hope, if anyone wants to find any peace, anything, the only way is through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like every story in the Bible, when we see it, the example the Lord gives, He always goes a little further to show us even more. I'm sure these people would have been amazed had fire just shown up and the altar and the sacrifice been burnt. But that's not enough. The stones, the wood, the water, everything, the entire sacrifice was completely consumed. And there's so much in this. But to simplify this, just to say, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross took all our sins, took everything. He was victorious over our sin. He did every single thing that we needed to be saved. And in replacement, He gave us His righteousness. He was perfect. He gave us what we needed. His sacrifice was so effectual that nothing was left. There was nothing there. And then He rose and He was victorious. You could not have even seen where this sacrifice was. It was gone. It was perfect. I can't imagine what these people thought when they saw. And they probably, some of them even thought, you know, I think Elijah's right. And this sacrifice is going to work. But when everything was gone, They were left with what we see in verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. When someone sees the power of God, when someone sees God in His true glory, there's nothing to do except just fall down on your face. I mean, we see in the scriptures that we couldn't look upon Him. I mean, we can't handle His glory. It would just disintegrate us. We couldn't handle it. But just getting a glimpse of it, just a picture of it, is enough to just drop a man to the ground. And then what did they do after they fell on their faces? They all said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." It's not enough to say it once. They probably just kept saying it. They just kept saying it with their faces on the ground. The Lord, He's God. We see it. And this is what we need. As a child of God, we oftentimes look at these stories. We see the children of Israel, and we could count how many times, whether it's at the Red Sea and they bickered, or the serpents come. All these stories we see of the children of Israel being shown this amazing miracle and the glory of God. And it's just right there. And we just see in the next chapter how they just wander off. And they just can't figure it out. It's because we need to be reminded of this. And those people, I'm sure they thought to themselves, how could I ever have not remembered this? How could I have not done it? But then in verse 40, we see where Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Finally, we'll say this. Only those who believe and are found in the Lord Jesus Christ in that sacrifice will be spared. That's it. If you are found anywhere but under the blood, you're lost. You will be slain. And I don't think we're naive enough to think that the Lord doesn't have to show us this. These people were all in the same boat. Not a single child of Israel spoke up and said anything at the beginning when we said, "Do you believe on God or Baal?" None of them said a word. And what a relief that is. There are so many moments of weakness that the Lord must again show us, and He must put us in His bosom. He must put us under His arm so that when this moment comes, we're only there because He's forced us. He's grabbed us. He's brought us. The whole thing we talk about, we believe or we have faith, is just Him making us to see it. He has to do what He's done here for us, and we see it. But all that are found outside the Lord Jesus Christ will perish. So in closing, it's important to see here, there is only one God. And though it feels like most of the world has their own opinion of who God is, and the actions of so many would seem to say that it is not the God of the Bible, and the devotion that we have or the actions we do, none of it has any bearing. And thankfully that's true, because we like to think of the actions here as celebrating or cheering or praying or having faith. But the actions that don't matter that we have are unbelief, our lack of faith, our vanity, our pride, our lust, all these things that we constantly are in. Thankfully, they have no bearing on our salvation. That there is one God. And as it says here, Elijah, in closing, we'll read his prayer again. Elijah said in verse 36, "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again."